When you read the book of Psalms, when you read these wonderful songs from inspired writers, they talk to you at a very deep level, no matter what the setting may be. Now, I grew up in the city. I didn't see a sheep until I was, oh, maybe 8 years old. And yet when I read Psalm 23, it speaks to me. Why? Well, because I'm a sheep and I need the guidance of God, my shepherd. I've never been abandoned in a deep cave, but when I read Psalm 57, David's experience in the cave, it talks to me. And in Psalm 129, it's all about plowing and reaping. I've never been a farmer. I've never run a plow. I've never been out in the harvest field. But that's not what he's talking about here. Psalm 129 isn't really about sowing and reaping out in the field. It's not about plowing and harvesting. It's about life. Let me read Psalm 129 to you. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, let Israel now say. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, "The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." Now, Psalm 129 isn't about plowing and harvesting. You know what it's about? It's about hating people and hurting people. That's what it's about. It's about that experience that you and I have regularly of people hating us and hurting us. And the psalmist is saying, how do you handle this? How do you handle it when somebody very near and dear to you, someone you love, hurts you, plows you up? How do you handle it when you are misunderstood, when you're criticized? How do you handle it when you're hated? You know, the people of Israel, as no other nation, have experienced a lot of hatred and a lot of hurting. And the psalmist writes about that and he says, look, I want to give you some guidelines to follow when you're hurting. When someone has hurt you and you feel like quitting, you feel like giving up, or you feel like fighting back, here are some guidelines for you to follow. And when it comes to people hating you and hurting you, guideline number one is, expect it. That's right. Just expect it. Don't be surprised. That's what Peter wrote, didn't he? 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Are you surprised when somebody plows up your back? Are you surprised when somebody stabs you in the back? Are you surprised when people trip you and push you down in the dirt? Does this surprise you? Why? Because in the Word of God, it's very clear that from beginning to end, the people of God are hated. And the people of the world want to do everything they can to hurt and harm the people of God. It started back in Genesis chapter 4 when Cain killed Abel. We see it in Egypt when the Egyptians persecuted and made life miserable for the Jewish people. In Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 23, there is an interesting statement about the Jewish people. Listen to what the prophet says. But I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you. That is, I'll take this cup of judgment and put it into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down, that we may walk over you. And you have laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over you. Have people ever walked over you? Have you ever been pushed down into the dirt and they've said, we're going to make a sidewalk out of you, a doormat out of you? Well, that's what happens in this world. We see it in David. Oh, how he was mistreated. The prophets, prophet Jeremiah, my, they dropped him down a well. He would have sunk into the mire and never been heard from again, except that he was rescued by a good man. It's the way they treated the apostles, and it's the way they treated Jesus. Paul called it the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, my friend, when it comes to people hating you and hurting you, not because you've said something you shouldn't say, not because you've been out of place, no, no, not because you've been offensive, but because you're just living for the Lord. You're doing what God wants you to do. Expect it. When it comes to people hurting you and hating you, just expect it. Why? Well, we belong to two different worlds. We belong to the kingdom of light. They belong to the kingdom of darkness. We belong to two different families. We live by two different standards. We're controlled by two different motives. And we measure life by different values. And you and I are on that narrow road that runs right down the middle of the broad road. And we keep getting in people's way and they don't like it. They want us to live the way they live. Now, friend, it is not going to get easier. If you think the Christian life gets easier, you'd better read Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Jeremiah was complaining because life was getting difficult for him. And God said to him, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the flooding of the Jordan? He said, Jeremiah, up till now, you've just been running with the footmen, but before long, you're going to have to keep up with the horses. They've got four legs. You've just got two. They've got muscles that are strong, and you're kind of weak. How are you going to do it, Jeremiah? Do you think it's going to get easier? No, it's going to get harder. If you think in the land of peace, you've had problems, just wait until the Jordan starts to overflow. And what are you going to do down there in that jungle of the Jordan? And so, my friend, I want you to know that it's not going to get any easier, but it is going to get better. You see, God prepares us for the next thing, doesn't he? God knows how long, and God knows how much, and God knows how far. And God is never going to put you in a situation where he cannot see you through. When it comes to people hating you and hurting you, expect it. Secondly, profit from it. Now, he says that in verses 3 and 4. You know, there are many images of suffering in the Bible. Suffering is compared to going into a furnace or a storm. It's compared to warfare. It's compared to being in the darkness. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's compared to a woman in travail giving birth. It's even compared to being in prison, like Joseph was in prison. But here are the images out of plowing. Listen, Psalm 129, verses 3 and 4. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Now, what's he saying here? Well, you can feel it. He says, you know, when people hurt you and people hate you, it's like somebody plowing up your back. And this reminds us that we're made out of dirt. We're just clay. God made us out of clay. And it's good for us to be humbled. It's good for us to be down there as a doormat. It's good for us to feel that plow going through our back. But I want to remind you of something. When God allows people to plow your back, he's preparing you for a harvest. You can't have a harvest without plowing. It tells me that the future is going to be better than the present. You see, he always brings blessings out of trials. They plowed up Joseph's back. Oh, how they treated him. And yet, look at the harvest that he had. They plowed up Paul's back, figuratively speaking. And yet, look at the harvest that God gave in Paul's life. So, you see, when it comes to people hating you and hurting you, expect it and profit from it. Say to yourself, all right, if the Lord is allowing me to go through this suffering, if he's plowing up my back, he must have a harvest that he wants me to produce. Just think of what Paul went through. Next time you feel like your situation is difficult, remember what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. You say, what kind of a harvest is there going to be? It all depends on the kind of seed you plant. You see, God allows the plowing, but we do the planting. Are we going to plant seeds of bitterness, revenge, hatred? Then we're going to reap a bitter harvest. Oh, don't do that. When people hate you and hurt you, and God allows them to plow up your back, plow up your heart. It hurts. Plant seeds of love and faith and promise. Plant the Word of God and remember that the Lord Jesus Christ had His back plowed up for you. You say, well, why should this happen to me? Well, why shouldn't it? It happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 52, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ was treated as though He were not a man. Verse 14, just as many as were astonished at you, so His face was marred more than any man, His form more than the sons of men. The Lord Jesus Christ, because His love for us was so great, had His back plowed up. They scourged Him. They plucked out His beard. They spat upon Him. Then they nailed Him to a cross. Oh, my friend, don't ever say, why should this happen to me? If we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, we should say, thank you, Lord, that I'm sharing in the fellowship of His sufferings. Well, profit from it. God's in control. I like verse 4 of Psalm 120. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. There comes a time when God shows up with His knife and He cuts the cord that ties the animal to the plow. And the plow no longer works. The plow no longer digs into your life. God knows how long, God knows how deep, and God knows when the plowing is over. And He just comes down and cuts the cords. And you know what? Folks can't hurt you anymore. And then you wait for the harvest. Well, I've given you two suggestions, two guidelines. First, accept it. When people hurt you and people hate you, accept it. Expect it now. Profit from it. And thirdly, leave the judging to God. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord bless you out of Zion. May you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Verses 5 and 6. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up. What's he saying here? The unsaved crowd that fights us, that hates us, they're not going to have a harvest. All they're going to have is a little bit of grass on the housetop, and that's going to be the end of it. Oh, we're so prone to want to fight back. We want to be so unlike the Lord Jesus, who when He was reviled, did not revile again. We want to fight back. But the prophet and the psalmist combine in telling us, don't fight back. Jeremiah, it's going to get harder, but don't fight back. Paul said, don't fight back. The psalmist says, now don't you fight back. Let God take care of them. And the greatest judgment God can give to a person's life is they have no harvest. They're not a blessing to anybody. I like the way this psalm ends. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. You see, when you allow people to plow up your back and then you plant the seeds of the Word of God and love and faith and courage, you'll get a harvest and you'll be a blessing to people. I think the greatest thing in life is not to get a blessing, it's to be a blessing. You'll get a blessing and you'll be a blessing when you allow God to work. And as a consequence, those who hate the people of God are like grass on the housetop. The reaper can't fill his hand. The reaper can't pick up sheaves. There's nothing there. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and so God will give you a harvest. When it comes to people hating you and hurting you, expect it. It's going to come. Profit from it. Plant the right kind of seed. And leave the judging to God. Commit it to the Lord, and you know what? He'll give you a harvest. You won't be like grass on the housetop. You'll be like a harvest field. And people will come up to you and say, the Lord bless you. You are a blessing to me, and I thank God for you. Be a harvest today. Feed hungry people.